These are our core values, and I'm not going to read them for you because you can see them here, but every one of our employees embraces these values that we hold true and dear, from our highest level of ethics and professionalism to making a difference in our clients' lives each and every day. This is important. This is how every one of our employees operates. We've created a culture when we hire somebody that they fit what we do. If you've ever asked your employees what you do for a living, you'd be surprised with what they'll come up with. Our employees can all say the exact same thing because we are passionate about what we do, and we want to make sure they understand and can deliver our message as well. In our organization, we have three unique processes that we follow. We have here the employer blueprint. When we speak with clients, we tell them exactly what they can expect from us and what we are going to provide in the form of services and even products that we may be able to offer. We also have the employee advantage. Because we are an employee benefits firm, we go from the large group, working with them on strategies and longer-term ways to maximize their benefits, to going right down to the employee level. We do a lot of work with employee voluntary benefits, and this seems to be more of what we are spending time on today. There's an underserved marketplace with most employer groups, and that's actually getting to the employee. So we spend a lot of time with technology and also personal one-on-one meetings with employees during the day, and we have a whole process designed around this. We didn't grow up overnight. I started the business by just hiring one person and making the investment in another person to help. As a matter of fact, one of my former teammates on my team, Jan Tomlinson, is actually here, and it was so nice that she's come, but she used to actually work in our office until they moved back home here to be with their family. And the third thing that I think we as an organization excel in is the experience, because it really is all about the experience. Your client may not be able to tell you what product they purchased. They know it's life insurance, but is it UL, is it VUL, is it term insurance? No, but they know who the agent is or the consultant is that sold them this product. So we make sure that their experience is very positive. And I would say that the first thing that will come out of their mouths in working with us is that it was a great experience, and that they know that we will be there with them in person. We also make sure to tell them exactly what we do for the clients. This is one area that we've failed in the past. When we don't tell them everything, we find that they'll actually might buy products from somebody else. And that is something that I would suggest, that you make sure to let the clients know everything that you do. At Borslow Insurance, we do the full gamut of compliance and regulatory and continuing education along with clients. But what we also do is we have strategic relationships, and those relationships allow us to partner to help our clients. So we make sure that we show them that they're in the middle and that we have the relationship to surround them with all of their needs in the particular area of benefit planning. We view every client as our strategic partner. We want to make sure that they understand the role that we play in their lives, and more importantly, what they can expect from us. We start every meeting with renewing our vows. We start by saying, this is what we hope to accomplish today, and this is what our plans are. Does that make sense for you? Are you comfortable with that? Yes. And then we move forward. We remind them why they have selected us as their financial planner, estate planner, or their benefits firm. It's important that they are buying in, and the reminder is always very helpful. We seek to understand clients' challenges, their opportunities, and their strengths. We ask them one simple question, and I ask this question whether they're a client, a prospect, or a prospective employee, and that is, if you were sitting here 3 years from today, what would have to happen professionally and personally for you to feel good about our relationship or about where you are today in this world? Sit back and let them answer those questions. What are the dangers? What are your opportunities? and what are you looking to accomplish? And they will get into really great detail of what's important to them. We look to develop long-term benefit planning with our clients. We're not just going to be there for 1 year. We always talk about the extended relationship, 3 years, 5 years. We're looking beyond the year, and we follow up with each and every client because that's critical. Make sure you are following up. Do what you say you're going to do and not just sell them a benefit and not be there to service it as well. And then we stay consistently in touch with the client. We have 6 major client contact points throughout the year, and we're also intermixing those with other events like webinars go out. We do a client newsletter. So the 6 major contact points, and then a lot of others interdispersed throughout the year. And statistically, we've found that 6 keeps our name in front of the client in a really efficient way. How do you create a target market? We, in our office, have a very unique target market, and that is independent private schools. I happen to come from a private school, Kimball Union Academy, that's in the foothills of New Hampshire. My children have gone. My dad went. I serve on the board of trustees. I know private schools really well, and it's a passion for me. So what we've done is we have become experts in this particular space. And how do you become an expert and knowledgeable is by many of the things that we do here. We attend their national conferences. We've written newsletters in their space. We're a resource. We're experts. We're viewed as experts. We host school events. We are really the go-to people who are actually recognized by the industry itself for knowing their business almost as well as they know their business. Become that expert. One of the things that we've done is we've actually written a book. My partner and I have written a book called Bend the Healthcare Trend. This book wasn't written for us to be viewed as authors and to sell lots and lots of copies. It has sold plenty of copies, but more importantly, it has established our expertise in this space. Of the 10 chapters that are outlined in the book, 5 of the chapters are very specific to independent schools. And so this has become required reading in the independent school marketplace. It's the best business card we've ever put together. And I would suggest that if you have a critical area that you're an expert in, create that level of expertise. Maybe you can write a book. I will say it wasn't the easiest thing we've ever embarked upon because it does take time and it takes effort. But find a way to establish your level of expertise so that clients will keep coming back to you. We have very specific growth strategies that we use. We focus on the quality of prospects, not the quantity of prospects. In the introduction, John mentioned we worked with over 400 clients. Each year we look at where the clients and our focus should be, and we actually remove some of the ones that are on the bottom. The old Pareto rule, the 80-20, 20% of our clients produce 80% of the income. We are constantly looking for where we are ineffective with clients, and we create partnerships with other people who might specialize in that area. We no longer write cases that are under 10 lives, and we just recently made the decision under 20 lives. With healthcare reform, within 3 or 4 years, we'll probably be up to 100 lives. But we have a strategic partner that we are able to send that business to. So we've made tough decisions. We are not the right consultant on every case, but we make those decisions early in the process. I know when I first started, I would meet with anybody and sell any product that I had just to get my feet on the ground. But now that our business has grown, we can be a little more specialized in what we do. We focus on value creation. Again, a longer-term strategy and not commodity selling. We follow people on the move. That's a source of additional business for us. A lot of our clients move from employer group to employer group because our primary focus is on HR professionals and CFOs. As they move them around, we move with them. and we make sure we stay in very close contact. So we have a very formal process of staying in touch with former clients. And many of those clients become new clients, and we keep the old clients as well. So we follow our people on the move. Building centers of influence. All of you are probably very familiar with that. Within your field of expertise, what are those centers of influence? Are they CPAs, attorneys? In our field, again, HR professionals and CFOs. So we do anything and everything to be in front of those types of individuals. We leverage what we do really well, which is consumer-driven health plans, which is a version of what our expertise is in, and we make sure to get out there with this coupled with involuntary benefits. So we have a plan. We invest in ourselves and we invest in the team at Borslow Insurance. We spend a lot of time strategizing and making sure that we're doing what's right for the client. And we also have a pretty aggressive social media, which I went into kicking and screaming 3 or 4 years ago, saying, oh, do I really need all of these? Well, I have two teenage daughters also who are just like the technology on Facebook, and we have iPads, and we have MacBook Pros. We have so much technology in the house, but in our office, we use LinkedIn as a strategy, and our most recent hire just found us on LinkedIn because we did our job posting on LinkedIn. Unbelievable how it works. And every appointment we go out to, we use LinkedIn, but we get their profiles off LinkedIn. And another tip that I would give you is Google Alerts. How many people here use Google Alerts? Very few. So if you take one thing from this presentation, take your clients, put them in Google Alerts, and anytime their name appears in the news, you will get an alert and you can reach out to that client. We have every client, every insurance company we work with, every important relationship we have on a Google Alert, and those Google Alerts come to us daily. So it is a great way for us to stay connected with clients. Social media, again, is growing. We don't have a Facebook page for our office, but we check Facebook pages, and I am going to share a quick Facebook story. We had a client who was really giving us a lot of trouble. One of my team members came to me and said, Jen, we really need to fire this client. I said, well, have we talked to the owner? It's a 55 life group or something like that. And he said, well, and I knew the owner. I said, well, why don't I talk to Keith? They said, okay, will you do that? I said, I need the facts, pull it together. Well, one of our younger members of our team said, let me do some research. So she researched the girl that was giving us all of the problems. You probably don't have clients like that, but every time, now and then, we have a client that's just brutal to work with. So I was getting ready to fire the client, or at least go to the president of the company and say, look, this person's being unreasonable, and we've done everything we can. My employee found the client on Facebook, and so she did a little digging, and wouldn't you know that she found out that the client on Facebook had her wedding pictures. She was the president's daughter. We found that out by Facebook. So needless to say, we didn't have the conversation. We've kept the client happy, and it's worked, but that would have been a major faux pas, and we discovered that on Facebook. We also check Facebook in our hiring practices, and we let people know. So I tell my kids all the time, be careful what you put on Facebook, but we actually look at Facebook pages, and you can do that because it's out there. It is public. We have a very specific philanthropic mission at Borslow Insurance, and that is to support charitable causes that make a difference in the lives of those less fortunate, especially in our community. We have a group of people in our organization that have a responsibility of providing what our monthly charitable purpose is going to be. And we range from, like this week, actually tonight, they are doing a, at our Lazarus House, they're doing a homeless shelter. They're actually doing a dinner. But one of the things that we do is we allow our employees to really participate in our charitable mission. And so we've done things like adopt an island. We've actually done backpacks for kids that are going to school. We partner with a lot of our nonprofits and try to help them. We partner with the YMCA, which we are actively involved in, and what resources that we can bring. We are a huge give back to the community. type of organization. And that has served us really well because that's what we believe in. From the top down, we really believe that if you're giving back to the community, not for reasons to get business, but because you really believe in it, it will really strengthen the bonds of your organization, and it has for us. And I can share lots and lots of stories of what our agency has done. The one that is my absolute favorite, which I have shared on a couple of stages before, is our Extraordinary Acts of Kindness program. In our organization, we allow at Christmas time the opportunity for all of our team to come together. And what we did and started 4 years ago is that we provided them with a letter on a Wednesday afternoon. Everybody came into the conference room. We gave them a letter, and the letter had instructions. And that letter of instructions said, you have 24 hours to perform an extraordinary act of kindness. And in the letter was a $100 bill. So they got to go out and spend that $100 any way they wanted to spend it. And they did some amazing things with it. They went to the grocery store and paid for groceries. They, a couple of them went to a nursing home to give the $100 to the nurse that took care of their grandmother. Just amazing stories. Some went to their local church. But the stories were great, and it was a way for them to spread our philanthropic mission. Now, we have done this every year for the last 4 years, and we finish at our holiday event in the evening with them sharing their stories. And when I tell you it is the most touching thing we do, it's just really very heartwarming, because they don't always have the time to spend their own money and to think like that, which is the random act of kindness. And we do this throughout the year now. It's become a signature. If somebody sees somebody that needs some help or assistance, one of my employees came to us recently and said, we have a client that's really struggling for this reason. Can we do something for them? In addition to this, we also, at the end of the event last year, we gave them another $100 as a wow, and we asked them to go out and spend it on themselves. And when you ask, we're made up of 25 women and five men. When you ask females to give females $100 to spend money on themselves, they typically will spend it on their families. They don't typically spend it on themselves. And what they had to do was spend it on themselves. And if they didn't spend the $100, they were going to give it back to us, and we were going to donate that to charity. Well, we didn't have any money left over. But they bought some amazing things that they would never have bought themselves. An expensive perfume, some jewelry, some clothes. So that was another way we were able to say thank you to our team. And creating that culture. Our motto in the office is meet, exceed, wow. Creating the wow factor. And a lot of the wow factor things that we do in our office, I will probably address this afternoon. We also walk the talk. Which is real important. We're a benefits firm that's really focused on wellness, and so we have gone the full-fledged putting in a wellness fitness center in our actual space. We have 16,000 square feet of space in the building that we're in. For 30 employees, we have our own wellness center and a personal coach. So we're willing to invest in our employees, and when you invest in your employees, happy employees is a really happy business, and our clients feel that infection because they see us walking the talk. So a lot of our success is due to the people that we have working with us. And I can't say that enough. One of the things that we've done ever since they have started with us is we make sure that they have their own estate planning done as well. And we provide that benefit to our employees. We pay for that. Because it's important that they understand what we do for a living. So if your staff has not been through the estate planning process and you're an estate planner, shame on you. Take them through the process personally. Pay for it, because maybe they're afraid or maybe they can't afford it. But once they've been through it, they are your biggest mouthpiece of why it's so important. So we are constantly looking for ways to invest in our employees, and it really has helped us grow and become really successful in the space that we work in. This is the team. This was this summer we did a scavenger hunt as our agency outing. We were awarded Best Places to Work in Massachusetts, one of 25 businesses this year with employers under 100. and also healthiest employer in Massachusetts. So we were really excited and did something fun to celebrate the day. What I would hope that you could take away is that investing in your employees is investing in your clients. It really is the key to our success, is the great people we work with. I want to close by saying it's an incredible honor to be standing before you as the president of MDRT. I said to John this week, we've spent a couple of days together in the car, that I never saw it coming. It was so out of the blue for me when the nominating committee called and said, you're the nominee. My reaction was, of what? You know, what am I the nominee of? Well, the roundtable has been such a significant part of my life for 23 years. It changed who I was personally and professionally and allowed me to create balance, but more importantly, provides me with the motivation, inspiration, and the amazing friends that you meet along the way. So if you're not an MDRT member yet, I want to leave you with encouragement to become an MDRT member. There's lots of people wearing these green badges that say they're MDRT members, and I think they'll agree that it is an amazing association to be affiliated with, and I would attribute a great deal of my success to the people that I've met along my journey within MDRT. So I wish you all much success, and I thank you again for the opportunity to be with you.